morning. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Exodus chapter 4. To Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to be reading today from verses 1 to 17. So we're going to be reading from Exodus chapter 4, 1 to 17. And it says, "Then Moses said, 'What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, "The Lord has not appeared to you."' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' And he said, 'A staff.' Then he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail.' So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Then they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, 'Now put your hand into your bosom.' So he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as like snow. Then he said, 'Put your hand into your bosom again.' So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two things or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground.' Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' The Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I will be your mouth and will teach you what you are to say.' But he said, 'Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will.' Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, 'Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with you with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and you will be as a mouth for you. He will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. You shall take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs." Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your grace and mercy unto us. Lord, I just pray that you would be with us this morning as we go into your word. Please just reveal your truth to us, God, and just the message that you have for us today. So we thank you and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look here in Exodus chapter 4, we see Moses speaking with God. This is the same encounter that Moses had. This is a continuation of the encounter of the burning bush. And just to give you a little bit more background of where Moses is at this point in his life, Moses around this time is around the age of 80. So he has spent the last 40 years in the wilderness of Midian living as a shepherd. And actually, before this, as many of you know, he was a prince of Egypt. So if you look at the stages of Moses' life, it actually can be cut down pretty easily into three distinct stages. So the first third of his life was spent in Egypt as one of the princes of Egypt. And now the second part of his life was spent in Midian as a shepherd after he escaped from Egypt because he murdered an Egyptian slave master. I don't know what the right word is, slave person, coordinator. And now we see that he's coming towards the last end of his life, the last end of the second stage, going into the next stage, which is where he becomes now the savior for Israel as they come out of Egypt. And here's this man, and he has spent the last 40 years of his life as a shepherd. Every day, every morning, he's gotten up, he's went to bed, he's gotten up, he's gone to the fields, he's gone to work. And suddenly one day he sees this burning bush, and God comes to him and he says, "You know that country that you escaped from, where you almost died from and you had to leave, you have to escape in fear? I want you to go back to that place. I want you to go back to that place and now tell the Pharaoh that he is to set my people free." In fact, what he says is, "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses is just afraid. He's overwhelmed. He says, you know, his first question to God is, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? This is earlier in chapter 3. It says that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. Moses, I mean, obviously he's afraid. It'd be like me waking up this morning, stretching out, God saying, hey, go to North Korea, go to Kim Jong-un and say, set my people free. You know, it's this idea that Moses is faced with an impossible task. He's faced with this task of going against the most powerful nation in the world at that time, going against this, the most powerful nation in the world that he could possibly face, going against the leader of this nation who considers himself a god and saying to him, hey, the Israelite slaves that you think are your property, I actually want you to just let go of them. And in fact, later he says, and in fact, not only let them go, but also give us silver. Understandably, Moses is a little nervous. Now, if we go back, why don't we look at this a little bit closer? Moses is afraid, so he says, you know, give me a sign, Lord. How will the people know that you are my God, that you are with me, that what you say is true? At first, God, actually, if you look earlier in the previous chapter, Moses, you know, when he says, who am I that I should do this? God says, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that I am with you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship me at this mountain. So God is already saying, yes, I'm guaranteeing you're going to be safe. But Moses here comes again and says to God, what if they don't believe me? What if nobody takes me seriously, even though you say all these things, that you say you are who you are, I am who I am? What if nobody believes me? And so God shows him three signs. So the three signs are actually quite significant. The first sign is the sign of the serpent. So he asks Moses, he says, drop your staff. And the staff becomes, it becomes a serpent. And Moses is actually afraid of it. And the serpent here, I mean, obviously for many of us, we recognize that the serpent represents the enemy. But also further, actually, if you look into Egyptian mythology, the serpent was also often used to represent Waje, which was the goddess of protection, and particularly not only of Egypt, but particularly of the pharaohs. So here, God is showing, that one of the signs that God is showing is that, hey, this goddess, this god, whoever they think they are, is protecting them, whoever they think is in power. And obviously at this point, the Israelites would be very familiar with Egyptian culture. Look how much control I have. God is showing that now I can turn this staff into the snake, this representation of their goddess of protection. And just as easily, you will take hold of the tail, and now you have control and becomes a staff again. The second sign that we see is that he puts his hand into his bosom, and it comes out leprous as snow, and he puts it back in again, and it returns. And oftentimes, if we look throughout the Bible, leprosy is seen as a sign of a form of divine punishment, that is seen as a punishment for sins. And the healing of leprosy is actually seen as something that only God can do. So this is not something that medicine can take care of, that in the tradition is that it is a divine punishment for sins that have been occurred, but then that the only healing can come through God's hand. So only through the intervention of God's power can this be done. And so we can see, and oftentimes this is also a form of forgiveness that God shows. And this is another sign that not only is God with them, that God's power is with Moses, but also in many ways I think this is a sign, you know, to show that, you know, if we look at Matthew 8:4, we see, you know, in Matthew 8:4, it says that Jesus, you know, it talks about Jesus healing the leper. And it says, see that you tell no one, but go yourself to the priest. He says this to the leper that he's just healed. See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that God commanded as a testimony to them, the priests. And in many ways, I think that, you know, this is, in the same way, this sign of leprosy is also an act of testimony. You know, we see, I think many Israelites, when they faced, as they faced these years of slavery and toil, I'm sure many of them thought that this is a punishment by God. That we are being punished as a race for the things that we've done, and now here we are, look at our state, and now God is showing them a sign that, yes, whatever you think the divine punishment, whatever hardship you have faced, I now come as your healer. The third sign that God says, if they do not believe the first two signs, he says, then you will pour the water of the Nile onto the ground and it will become as blood. And blood, as we see in Leviticus, it later says, is for the life of the creatures in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourself at the altar. So it's this idea that blood represents life. And so in many ways, God is showing that now I will renew your God, will renew your life, renew the life of my people. And so we see the sign of the serpent, leprosy, and of blood. And these are the signs that Moses are to have to convince the people, yes, I am with you, that I am with each and every one of you. But Moses is still afraid. You know, Moses, God shows him these miraculous, right in front of him, these miraculous signs right in front of his face. He shows him the serpent, he shows him the hand, and then he gives him the promise of the blood of the Nile. And yet Moses says to the Lord, please, Lord, in verse 10, it says, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. And God replies to him. He says, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is not I the Lord? And God reassures him again by saying, I will teach you what you are to say. You know, Moses is faced with this impossible task. And not only is he faced with this thing that for many of us would be daunting, even with the full ability of speech that we think that we have, you know, even with God giving us words. But Moses says, you know, he is slow of speech and slow of tongue. Other translations say that he is he's slow to speak and easily tongue-tied. But then as I was looking through, actually many scholars, they actually surmise that maybe even that not only was Moses possibly had impediment of speech, but also that he may have just not been that familiar with the Hebrew language. Actually, you know, if you think about it, you know, he lived his early life as a prince of Egypt. And then the other half of his life, he's been living it in the land of Midian, which speaks a form of Hebrew, but actually it's a dialect. And so he would not have been that familiar with the Hebrew language itself in order to speak to the people. And so he, you know, and as I was reading this and I was looking at this light, you know, I was reminded of myself as well too. You know, I used to come from a Korean church, a local Korean church. And, you know, honestly, this feeling of fear, every time anybody asked me to pray in Korean, that would be literally the most frightening thing. I would rather dance in front of people than have to pray in Korean. Really, there's a nervousness that comes with speaking in a language that you're not used to. In fact, there's almost a fear of being humbled. You know, there's a pride issue there, I think, too. You know, feeling embarrassed in front of people. And I think Moses here, not only is he afraid, but he's also, you know, if we look at this in the terms of he doesn't speak the Hebrew language well, there is an embarrassment. Now he has to go before the entire nation of Israel and speak these words. He has to go against the entire nation of Egypt, speak these words. And how nervous he must have been, you know, how afraid he must have been. And actually, if you look at it, in many ways, it's a very normal reaction that he has. You know, I think for many of us in our own lives, you know, God calls us to do many things each and every day. You know, he calls us to do things that give us a sense of nervousness. And our first reaction, like Moses, I think, is to say, God, I can't do this. Or God, how am I going to do this? Or God, give me this sign, then I'll know that it's okay. But even then, when we get that sign, we say, can you give me another sign so that I'm sure? But this morning, I really want to look at God's response to Moses. And I think that this really shows more of God's character and really how an amazing God he is. So the first response that we see is that we see God's provision. You know, we see God's provision. You know, even though Moses says he's afraid, yet God says to him, he says that, who has made your mouth? He says, go, I will be with your mouth and will teach you what you are to say. God is saying that he is going to provide all that he needs for Moses to do what he needs to do. You know, it's not that God doesn't know that Moses has this inability to speak, that he's slow of tongue. God knows it even better than Moses does. But oftentimes I feel that God calls us not in spite of our weakness, but because of our weakness. You know, he uses the weak to shame the strong. He uses the foolish to shame the wise. God's not calling on Moses because he has a super ability to speak. He's not calling on him because he has a super oratory ability that can move mountains just with words. And I think for many of us as well, too, he calls us to do things not because we are good at those things. I think oftentimes we feel that we need to have these superpowers, these super abilities before we can do it. Oh, no, 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 no. Leave the praying to Matt on IP because he's an awesome prayer. No, no, no. Leave healing to Ricky, you know, because when he does it, it actually works because he has power. But for me, no, please, Lord, send someone else or give me a sign that it's going to work. And I think for us, by the way, that wasn't any insecurity. but, you know, for God, for many of us, I think, you know, God gives us that guarantee that he will be with us. He knows our weakness. He knows our inabilities. And yet he calls us to do things because his power, it will be perfected in that weakness that we show. That when people see that, wasn't that person unable to do that thing? And yet now we see them doing it. Wasn't that person timid and shy and scared, am I? But now we can see that he is speaking so boldly for Christ. And I think that this is the way that God is showing his power, shows his power, his provision. And we see here in chapter 4, verses 12, that God is assuring Moses, yes, you feel like you can't speak, but I'm with you. I'll provide everything that you need. Any ability that you need, I'll provide. Second, we see in God's response, we see God's patience. You know, it says, despite all these assurances from the Father, Moses still says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. This doesn't mean submission. This means basically send it through whomever except me. So Moses is saying, no, I can't do this. And says the next verse says, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And this is usually when lightning comes down against whoever it is and strikes them down. But instead of this appropriate words that matches what it says is the anger of the Lord, you know, you can just imagine this anger is burning. And then he says, well, isn't that your brother Aaron, the Levite over there? Well, why don't you just ask him to come over and I'll use both of you? And what an amazing, what a kind and amazing God we see here, that Moses says, I can't do it, Lord, send someone else. God is angry, but not, so then God says, here's your help. Now, instead of saying, well, Moses, this is what I want you to do. This is the game plan. You just follow it and everything will be okay. And Moses says, no. Instead of God saying, well, then you're out of the plan and pushing him aside, God says, well, in that case, I will help you. I'll give you the help that you need through your brother Aaron the Levite. But not only that, but then I will still use you because you will speak, I will speak to you and you will speak to him. And through this, he will know what the words to say because you will know the words to say because I will give you the words to say. And we see there's that God still incorporates Moses in his plan, that he changes his plan to incorporate Aaron to come in. But not only that, but he still uses Moses and says, yes, you will be as God to him. The final thing that we see is we see God's power. You know, God says at the end, God says, you shall take in your hand the staff, which you shall perform the signs. And the staff was the same staff that he dropped earlier to become a serpent. And we see that God's power is revealed through Moses, through his obedience to God. And we see that God calls upon Moses. He calls upon him to drop the staff. And actually, if you look at that, this sign, this miraculous sign, actually, it's actually two signs in one. Not only is it the sign of him dropping it and turning into a serpent, but him grabbing it again is actually, and turning into a staff again from a serpent is actually also another sign. And we see that, you know, when he first drops the staff, Moses is afraid of the serpent. He sees it, and I can't imagine what kind of huge, crazy, some people say snake, some people say, actually, some scholars actually think it might have been a form of crocodile when it says serpent, some kind of great creature. But in any case, it's something that Moses knows is frightening. And as soon as it goes on the ground, he knows it is a frightening creature, and he steps back from it. And then, yeah, God says, now grab it by its tail. And so Moses Can you imagine? I'm just afraid of this thing that's on the ground. And Moses, God is saying, grab it by its tail. So with what fear and trepidation, he must have reached down and he grabbed its tail. And when he grabbed it, it became a staff again. And I think here we see that God, he's showing Moses that I can do amazing things. To you, it may be normal actions, you dropping a staff, you picking it up again, you putting your hand into your chest and bringing it out. You know, you taking some water and dropping it on the ground. These things are simple things, and yet God is showing him that through these simple actions of yours, that I'm going to do miraculous things. And I think through these responses of God, I think we, it's a good reminder for us this morning, you know, that God is calling us to something. He's calling us to something. To a life that is lived for him, that is life lived as Christians, as representatives of Christ. He's saying, go and do these things. He's calling each and every one of us in our lives to do these things. And we are afraid, and yet God is patient with us. You know, God knows our fear, and we see that he is patient with us. But not only that, but he provides for us. He gives us strength to do these things. And by our very obedience, our simple actions, God is really able to do amazing things. And so this morning, I really want us to ask ourselves, you know, where is our confidence found? You know, do we know that God is with us? Do we really feel that? You know, the three signs that we see here actually have already been shown for us today. You know, the sign of the serpent, the sign of leprosy, the sign of blood. We see that through the cross that all these things actually have been satisfied, that we have victory over the enemy, that we have forgiveness for our sins, that we have new life through the blood that was shed. The three signs that God gave to Moses, so God gives to us through the cross. And now he's calling us to go. And are we being faithful to that call? Are we being faithful to him? Or are we tongue-tied? Are we slow to speak when we go out into our workplaces, when we go out into our classrooms, or when we go on to the MTR, and God is saying, this person is someone I want you to speak to, or this is somebody you need to minister to? Are we being slow of speech? Are we not trusting God? Or are we trusting him that our very act of just opening our mouth and speaking words will do something that on our own strength we cannot do? As we spend some time meditating this morning and singing some song of worship, you know, it's interesting that this passage ends with God asking Moses to take his staff. You know, Moses is a shepherd. Actually, the shepherds were seen as a lowly position in Egyptian culture. It was seen as a lowly and rough culture. Shepherds were seen as undisciplined, as seen as almost barbarian-like. You know, they lived in the fields. They were not city dwellers in any form. And yet Moses is to take this staff, which is kind of odd too, because, you know, he's off the job. Why does a shepherd need a staff when he's not being a shepherd? And yet this tool of the trade, you know, if we look at what a shepherd's staff represents, you know, it's part of the identity of a shepherd. You know, this is one of the tools that is used to identify a shepherd as a shepherd. A shepherd would often uses his staff to care for his sheep. It is a symbol of kindness. It shows, you know, the shepherd uses it to guide his sheep. That when the sheep go astray, it uses it to draw them near. It also is used when often sheep are trapped, a shepherd would use his staff to free them. And we see that God, you know, when God calls us to do these things, he's not just giving us a set of instructions and sending us out. Moses, it is you. I don't have anything to do with it. But God is with Moses. And not only is God with him, but we often see that, you know, when God speaks about himself, he refers to himself as the good shepherd. And so now for God to say to Moses, you take the staff, which identifies you as a shepherd, and you go, is God saying to Moses, you are to be me. You are to be my representative. In fact, you are to be a form of me to the Israelites. Even when he calls Aaron, he says in verse 14, he says, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with you. But moreover, I will teach you what you are to do, and you will speak to him, and you will be as God to him. So here we see that God is making Moses to represent himself to Aaron. And not only Aaron, but also the entire Israeli people. And I think for us too, that when we are sent out by God to do this thing, that we are, that not only is God with us, but that we are God. That not that we are God, but that we are represented as God. That when people see us, they don't see us as the person that we are, but they see us for the God who is behind us, that is giving us the power and the ability to do these things. That when we are, when we call ourselves Christians, that we are representatives of Christ. That we are Christ. That when we do these things, we are Christ to the people that we are ministering to. That is not we who are doing it, but Christ who is doing it through us. And so this morning, you know, as we sing this song of worship, let's really meditate on that. Let's meditate on this idea that God is calling us today, this morning, each and every day, He's calling us to do something for His name. And are we being faithful? Are we trusting Him to do it? Are we being faithful to know that He will provide for us, that His power is with us? And let's also take joy in knowing that even if we fail, that He is patient with us and He is kind. So as we meditate on these things, let's sing the song of worship together.
Trouble.
Our God is a faithful God. He's a faithful Father. And He's calling each and every one of us in our own lives, you know, as we go to our workplaces today, as we go to our schools today. He's calling us to a purpose that is higher than just working, than just studying. And so this morning, let's just spend some time really praying. You know, is there something that God has been speaking to us about, that He's leading us to do, something that seems difficult, something that seems impossible? And let's just really ask for, once again, God's assurance that as we pray for these things, that as we do, let's just pray for that strength just to be obedient to Him. If there's nothing that God has spoken to you about, or maybe it's something that you have not been hearing correctly, let's just really ask God this morning. Let's just ask Him really to reveal areas in our lives where we can really be that mouthpiece of His, that we can really be representatives of Him as we go out today. So let's just really pray for that right now. Student to today's community focus. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer, who are going through chemo and are waiting for a transplant. Let's really pray for God's provision, for God's healing hand of mercy to be on each and every one of our brothers and sisters as we pray for them this morning. Listen to those who are also suffering from illnesses but really need that word of salvation, that word of salvation in their lives. Let's just really pray that God would come not only with His healing hand that would touch their bodies, but also would really touch their souls and really reveal to them the healing that they need in their hearts. Let's also pray for others in our community who are suffering from illnesses and other kinds of infirmities. Thank you.
Let's also pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs, and really that God will provide, will be their provision, that God will really place them in more places where they can really be His representative. Let's turn to today's mission focus. Let's pray for the local ministries here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the local churches here. Let's pray for YWAM. Let's pray for Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. And let's just really pray for the workers, the brothers and sisters here who are working in Hong Kong. Let's also continue to pray for our missions committee in our church. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters, especially as they prepare and plan for how our church can get involved with the work that God is doing overseas. Let's also continue to pray for our local outreach. Let's continue to pray for our community center and for our Agape ministry, for SP Lights, for the Homie ministry, and for the prison ministry, and that really God would use our church, use us to just do His work here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for our city. Let's really pray for the government. Let's pray for the widening wealth gap between the rich and the poor. Let's pray for a revival in Hong Kong, that we would be a city on a hill and a light to China. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for tonight's activities. Let's pray for the college group that's meeting tonight. Let's also pray for the river that will be going on here tonight at 8 o'clock. Let's also pray for the IP team as they go on retreat today. Especially let's pray for the speaker, Pastor O, and let's pray for him. And let's also pray for his daughter, Patty, who's actually sick right now. And so let's just really pray for the activities that are going tonight.
Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this time where we can come into your word. We thank you that you are with us, God, and that you will never leave us. Father, I come before you humbly, Father, that wherever we have been unfaithful, God, to do the things that you have called us to, Lord, we just really repent of those things, and we really want to take faith, God, and take courage, knowing that you are with us in all things. And we thank you, Lord, that despite our weaknesses, despite the fact that sometimes we are afraid, God, that still yet you use us, Father, to do your will. And so, God, I just really pray that we just offer up to you just our smallest actions, God, knowing that you can do amazing things with them when they are done in faith. So, Lord, continue to speak to us throughout this day. Continue to watch over us, Father, throughout this weekend. God, we love you so much, and we thank you. And all this we pray in your most precious name. Amen.